I don't think any guy that looks like that has the right to be talking about any woman and what she looks like. But okay. Hi guys, welcome back to 20 something podcast. If you're new here, I'm Carly, I'm the host. So yeah, let's get started. We have a lot to talk about today, guys. I have had an incredibly boring week, but I'm excited to record. And this is my first full episode that I'm recording since release. I know I said this really briefly on the beginning of the last episode, but seriously, thank you guys for being so nice and so supportive, and so many people have listened, and it just absolutely warms my heart. And I'm not gonna get like super sappy about it or anything, but I'm just like so thankful that people actually want to listen to this. My hair is super curled right now. If you're wondering why, I have a beach frat party that I'm going to tonight, and I'm really excited. It's also one of my roommates and best friend's birthdays this weekend, which is awesome. So happy birthday, Lane. I'm just so excited to spend time with my friends. We're hosting a party tonight. It's just gonna be so good, and good vibes for the weekend. I've had a really boring week, a lot of studying, a lot of homework, and I'm kind of glad that it's over. I'm not even gonna lie to you, I didn't go to class today. I have this like absolutely batshit psych professor. I feel like a lot of professors are just weird, but he's special. For sure. But I didn't go to class this morning. I did get my ass up though. I went to the gym. Forgive me for skipping. I mean, I promise like I'm not gonna fail. I haven't skipped like at all this semester. It's a lie. I'm here with my Diet Coke today that I've almost finished, but this is me asking for Diet Coke to sponsor me actually, because I didn't feel like filming today and then I drank this and I said, yeah, I feel like filming. I'm ready. And here we are. I hope you guys had a really good week. Today's topic is a little heavy. It's a little difficult to talk about, at least for some people. I mean, I am going to get a little sensitive today. Can you believe it? I'm going to get a little sensitive. Topic of this week's episode is maturity and kind of the theme and all the things that have to do with being mature. But other than that, we're of course going to talk a little bit about pop culture. I have a couple things that I want to talk to you guys about. And then this is so exciting, but for the first time ever, we're going to be answering listeners' questions. I actually got responses to the Hot Girl Hotline, and if you don't know what that is, there's a link in the link tree in our bio to a Google form where you can ask me for advice, and I'll answer it on the podcast. I just made it a couple weeks ago. I've barely mentioned it on here, but just so you guys know, it is up and running and I finally actually have questions to answer. I was so excited when I opened it this morning because I didn't think that there'd be any questions, and there are, and people are actually asking for my advice, which is amazing and thrilling. But we're gonna get to those, I think, towards the end of the episode. I'm very excited. Let's get into a little bit of pop culture though. This week was kind of a boring week. I feel like not that many significant things happened, but there were a couple like viral things going around on TikTok that I wanted to mention. One of which being, I'm so sorry, I actually don't know her name because I haven't watched the show yet and I've been meaning to because I do like the show, but the girl who said that she looks like Megan Fox from Love is Blind, I'm here to defend her because I do think that in her life, she's probably heard 1,000 times that she looks like Megan Fox because she has the features. She has a lot of features that are very similar to her. Like she has the dark hair, she has the light eyes. She kind of has like a similar eye shape, nose, like forehead. I don't know. There's something about her. It's so obvious to me that she's been told before that she does look like Megan Fox. Do I think that on a show where you can't see the other person, she should have been like, yeah, I look like Megan Fox? Because obviously when you're talking to a dude, like, he's gonna take that, and he's gonna take it so literally. And this guy, I guess, like, this viral clip has been going around of him hugging her and then looking at the camera as if he's like, this chick doesn't look like Megan Fox. And it truly is funny if you look it up, but I just feel so bad for her because she said this and then the internet went crazy and people were fighting over how this girl looks, which, first of all, no one has any right. No one has any right. And some people were so mean to this woman, saying that she looks nothing like Megan Fox, she could never compare to Megan Fox. Like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Be nice. I think that she looked like her. I've been told that I look like so many people that I wouldn't necessarily say I look like. I've been told I look like Megan Fox. And I know that I don't. I've been told that I look like, oh God. Oh, Kate Upton. Someone told me I look like Kate Upton. I know that I look nothing like her. There are some people that I get told that I look like that I agree with, and one of which is Lucy Hale. Maybe not as much anymore, but I definitely look like her when I was younger. And I love her. But everyone likes to compare people to other people, and if someone told me that I look like Megan Fox, like, a lot, I would take that and I would run with it. So I get where she's coming from. I totally get where she's coming from. Maybe I'll put a picture in, if I can, of her next to Megan Fox. Because I see it, and this guy was such a dick to her. He's like, you don't look like Megan Fox. Okay? And you look like what? People are saying that he looks like a thumb. Because he does. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't think any guy that looks like that has the right to be talking about any woman and what she looks like. But, okay. I cook ASMR. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, and I'm gonna pull up the TikTok, was I saw a TikTok, I think it was from E! News, of Kelly Osbourne talking about Ozempic. I just... I'll clip it in because it's actually crazy, but I just need to show you guys.
I think it's amazing and I think it's great for them. There are a million ways to lose weight. Why not do it through something that isn't as boring as working out? People hate on it because they want to do it. And the people who hate it on the most, the people who are secretly doing it or pissed off that they can't afford it.
Oh my God. Okay, so the question was, what do you think of the Ozempic craze in Hollywood? Which, if you don't know what Ozempic is and what's going on with the Ozempic craze, then you've been living under a rock. Basically, a bunch of celebrities and rich people have been using Ozempic, which is a diabetes drug. It can be used for weight loss, but you have to qualify for it to be used for weight loss. But a lot of rich people, a lot of celebrities are just buying Ozempic because it makes you lose weight. And they're taking it and not thinking about necessarily the long-term side effects or who they're taking it away from. And there's been a shortage of Ozempic nationwide because people who actually have diabetes or need it for weight loss for personal reasons can't get their medication. And this is absolutely crazy of her to say. I cannot believe. But I don't, honestly, I don't even know who Kelly Osbourne is. So I'm looking that up. Who is Kelly Osbourne? Oh my God. Okay, wait. Now that I see pictures of her, I totally recognize her and she looks completely different. Because of Ozempic, clearly. Clearly. I'm assuming she's on it if that's what she's saying. And okay, wait. What does she do? What is she famous for? Television personality, singer, actress, model, fashion designer. Daughter of Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne. I've heard of Ozzy Osbourne. What does she do? Okay. This was just so offbeat. I need to watch it again.
It's amazing and I think it's great for them. There are a million ways to lose weight. Why not do it through something that isn't as boring as working out?
The part that gets me is that she says, why not do it through something that isn't as boring as working out? And she says it so, like, matter-of-factly. Come back to earth. Come back to earth. Working out is, like, the healthier way to lose weight. It's not that it's boring. There are so many methods that aren't even close to boring. And boring isn't like sticking a needle in your arm. What?
People hate on it because they want to do it. And the people who hate
on it... People hate on it because they want to do it.
...on the most, the people who are secretly doing it or pissed off that they can't afford it.
That's also the thing that got a lot of hate, was because she said they're pissed off that they can't afford it. Ozempic? Not covered by insurance. Like, if you're paying for this shit out of pocket, it's so expensive. And the average person cannot afford that. And it's just so out of touch. It's so painful. I just, like, can't anymore.
Amazing, and I think it's great for them.
It's amazing, and I think it's great for them. Guys, I'm so sorry. I just realized that my video cut out literally 13 minutes into the recording. I don't want to refilm this episode, though. So, I promise this will not happen again, hopefully. Someone said, does she have a PR team? If I was on her PR team, I would have flipped my lid. Because that's insane. Someone called her evil Lana Del Rey. That's really funny. Yeah, I don't like her, though. I'm on the Kelly Osbourne hate train now, and I didn't even know who she was 5 minutes ago. But that happened. That happened. Let's just get into our topic. I know we haven't been talking for long, but I think this week is going to be a shorter episode. Just because it is me solo again. I promise, guys. I promise I'm going to have more guests on. I know some of you really like the fact that I had a guest on, which is so exciting. I am going to have more guests on soon, but here I am today solo. So I feel like this might be a shorter episode, but yeah, let's just get into it. Today we're going to be talking about what it means to be mature. There's a lot to this, I feel like. This is a topic that I've wanted to do for a while. I think since I even thought about making a podcast, I had this idea written down as literally like the title being It's Hard Being Mature. Growing up, I was constantly being told, you're so mature for your age, or, oh, you have such an old soul. And for a while, I didn't really understand what that meant. But since then, I've done a ton of reflecting on what it means to truly be mature for your age and the different dynamics that come with that and the effects that it can have on you into your adult life. Just to be clear, I do want to talk about the psychology kind of behind maturity. I'm not an expert. But when I studied developmental psych, there were three different kinds of maturity that we talked about. The first of which being cognitive, which is problem-solving, decision-making, based around that. The second being emotional, which is all about how you understand, express, and regulate your emotions. Lastly, there's social maturity. And this is how your social skills develop, your behaviors, and how you interact with other people. I just want to be clear that today, I'm going to be leaning more on the side of talking about emotional maturity, just because I feel as though that's kind of where I was mature for a majority of my life, where I still am more mature than the average person my age would be in the emotional sector. Of course, there's also physical maturity that's a factor. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm specifically focusing on emotional maturity. Oftentimes, maturity at a young age is actually a side effect to growing up in a somewhat traumatic environment, and an environment where either you weren't receiving the kind of emotional support or physical support that you needed. So oftentimes when a kid is going through that, they'll make up for this and they'll pick up responsibilities that may be their parents' responsibility, whether it's making themselves breakfast every morning or caring for their own emotional needs. But growing up, I was kind of always told that I was mature for my age. It was always by adults, and it always really confused me. And the reason why I wanted to talk about it
today was because I recently came across a TikTok that this woman, I'm so sorry I didn't save the video, but she was talking about eldest daughter syndrome and the unique pressures that the eldest daughter in a family picks up as a result of having maybe more responsibilities than her siblings. And this really, I really resonated with this because if you know me, you know that I'm the oldest of four siblings. I have two younger brothers and a younger sister, and I love them more than anything in this world, but I definitely would say that in comparison to them, I had the unique position of picking up a lot of responsibilities that would have maybe normally been taken on by the parents. And this is totally something that a lot of oldest daughters go through, which is why this term, eldest daughter syndrome, has been coined. And this is not something that's, like, real. This is not a real psychological diagnosis. It's just kind of a term. It's just kind of a light explanation for this phenomenon. When I was growing up, I oftentimes was really independent at a really young age, and a part of that was because that was just my personality, but a lot of it was also attributed to the fact that my parents were caring for my three younger siblings. So a lot of times I was caring for myself because I always knew that my siblings probably needed more help than I did. And that kind of has expanded throughout my life, where I, to this day, like, if my sibling needs something and I need something, they're more of a priority because they should be. They're younger than I am. But even when I was in fifth grade, if my parents were helping my siblings with their homework, I wouldn't be asking for help. And I'm still like that. I very much carried that into my adult life where I just, like, don't ask people for help. It's something that I spend a lot of time talking about in therapy. I have been seeing my therapist since I was literally 7 years old, so she knows me pretty much better than anyone on this planet. There was a stint in there where I had a couple different therapists, because I didn't see her for a couple years, and then I ended up going back to her, but my therapist has known me as a 7-year-old, and she's known me as a 20-year-old. And one of the things that she's always consistently said to me is that I was so mature for my age. At a young age, I'm mature for my age now. And that has brought up a lot of little bubbles and little issues in my life that I never would have expected. And it might sound like a brag of me to sit here in front of you and be like, oh, I'm mature for my age. I have a mindset of a 25-year-old in a 20-year-old's body. But I'm not bragging. And I'll also be the first one to tell you that there is not a day that goes by where I'm not wishing that I could be a little bit more immature and worry about a little bit less. I'm not gonna get super into my background and my home situation growing up today, but there were a lot of times where I kind of had this independence forced on me, which I don't think I would change for the world because that taught me so much, and I'm really glad that I'm an independent person. But I think for a kid, it can be hard because I provided for myself in a lot of ways when I was younger. And I really taught myself to rely on me and only me, which doesn't exactly bode well in adulthood because I need to be able to rely on other people. I need to be able to ask my boyfriend for help and ask my friends for help and ask my professors for help and ask my family for help, but it's so hard for me. And it's always been so hard for me. Because I kind of internalized always being told that I was so mature and so independent, and I took that, and I hold myself to such a high standard, and sometimes I wish that I didn't, because I would like to be immature, I would like to be irresponsible, maybe not so much now, but there definitely were a lot of times that I felt like that when I was 16, 17, and I wasn't having fun doing the things that most high schoolers were doing. Even now, like, I don't want to go to parties. I would rather sit in my bed and watch a movie. And that sucks because I'm literally 20 and I feel like a grandma. When I was younger, it was very hard for me to relate to other kids my age and to connect with other kids my age. And there's, of course, other factors that go into it. Most of the time, it was because of emotional maturity, and I had a really hard time understanding other kids' feelings surrounding certain things because I interpreted it in such a different way. But a lot of times, I also had different interests than the kids around me, and I was a couple years ahead in terms of that. It's even hard for me now to connect with people who I find more immature. Immaturity is one of my biggest pet peeves. I swear to God, there is nothing I hate more than when someone cannot, like, match my emotional maturity level and have an open and honest conversation with me. It's always, like, when I get in an argument with someone, that's when the immaturity comes out. And I'll be like, oh shit, like, I didn't realize that you actually had the mindset of a 16-year-old girl. I swear to God, it happens all the time. It used to happen in high school specifically a lot, where I'd make friends and we just wouldn't be on the same level. And it sucked. It still to this day sucks. And I've met so many people in college that I'm like, we're just like years apart mentally. And it's such an interesting thing to see. And I think the thing about maturity is that it also comes with experience. So if you're someone who didn't go through certain things at a young age, of course, like, you're not going to be emotionally mature by the time that you're 20. That's not your fault. But I think it's just that it's harder for me to identify with people who aren't quite at that level. And I've always wondered if other people have felt this way. Because I think it's something that's really hard to explain. And it's not that I necessarily dislike someone. It's just that I have a hard time clicking. Because I don't feel like we're matching each other's maturity levels. I also feel like growing up as the oldest child, I kind of always was told by my parents that I needed to act like an adult. They'd be like, you're the child, I'm the adult. But then they would tell me to act like an adult. And I think that also was just fucked up my mindset around maturity, because I associate acting like an adult with being good and being behaved. Sometimes I feel like I just need to take the pressure off. Sometimes I just feel like I need to, like, let loose and be like, okay, I'm 20. I'm 20, I want to go out, I want to have fun. I don't want to have to be responsible all the time. And I think that that's something that's really hard to balance at this age, is being an adult and being responsible and being mature and doing the things that you have to do while also having fun and making sure that you're not missing out on your 20s and taking care of your mental health. There's just so much. There's so much that I feel like as a 20-year-old, as a, like, 20-something in general, I'm expected to do. And I'm just kind of always, like, and, like, stagnant, because I'm like, okay, well, I should be focusing on my career. I should be busting my ass in that category. But then I'm like, I should be focusing on myself and self-care. I should be pouring all this work and love into myself because it's my time to grow. And then I'm like, well, I should be going out and having fun and hanging out with my friends and doing this and doing that. But then I'm like, I should be saving money. I'm just so confused. I'm so fucking confused. And that's coming from me after saying that I'm emotionally mature and wise beyond my age. I'm so confused. It's interesting too, because I think as a society, we put a lot of pressure on being mature and acting like an adult and taking the higher road, being the bigger person. But the thing about being the mature person sometimes, and I learned this in therapy because one time my therapist said to me, actually, wait, let me tell you this first and then I'll get to that. Sometimes keeping the peace looks like maturity, but it actually hurts you in the long run. I realized this because one time my therapist said to me, there was something that I was upset at with my parents, and I was explaining it to her, and I was like, I just don't feel like I can say this because on an emotional maturity level, they are not going to get it. And she was like, you are 110% right, but you're doing yourself a disservice by not saying it. Sometimes keeping the peace and keeping quiet and not sharing your thoughts or your issues with something is actually disrespectful to yourself and your feelings, because you're telling yourself that the way that you feel is not valid and that you can't make a case for yourself, even though you deserve it. I'm not saying every time, because choose your battles and all that yaya, but sometimes taking the high road is not the best decision. Sometimes you're allowed to be like, actually, and that's okay. You don't always have to keep the peace. You don't always have to be the bigger person. You don't always have to be the most mature person. You don't always have to be this put-together version of yourself. You can trip a little, fall a little. We're human beings. You don't have to be mature all the time. And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot. And I wanted to come on here and share my perspective on it, because I'm sure if I feel this way, there has to be someone else out there that feels like this and understands, because we're all people. I made a TikTok recently, and it was that trend that was like, social media is fake, so here's 8 things that are authentically real about myself. And I put all these different things, and the people in the comments were just like, I totally relate to that. So I'm making an effort to share my feelings more, because there are so many people on this earth that actually relate to the things that you feel, but you may not realize. And not everyone has to feel so alone all the time. We're all getting through it together somehow. I don't know how. Barely. Okay. Moving on to answering viewers' questions, and again, if you don't know what this is, for now, I'm calling it Hot Girl Hotline. I don't know if I'm going to change that in the future, we'll see, but I opened up a Google form, and it's in the link tree in our Instagram bio. You can fill it out, ask me any advice you need. I love giving advice, and I have always been told that I'm good at giving advice, so I'm a credible source. I also have a psychology minor, which obviously makes me an expert in the field. I'm just kidding. But I do think that I have some good perspective and some good opinions to share. So let's get into it. Okay, I'm pulling up the Google form. I'm just so flattered that people actually want my advice. Like, that is so wild to me. Okay. So, I'm going to read you guys the first one. Hi, so all of my friends and I live in the same dorm, including this guy I'm seeing, and it's getting pretty serious. My girl best friend basically set the two of us up and always asks me how it's going, but then low-key gets mad when I say positive things. Then she'll be all huffy and jealous because she doesn't have a relationship like that. I know this is coming off kind of bitchy, but I legit never bring him up because I'm scared she'll get mad at me, and I feel like it's gotten so much worse recently. I can't even tell you how much I relate to this question. There have been so many times where I'm talking about a guy to a friend who maybe is not having the best of luck in terms of love life, and the response that I get is negative. And what I can tell you here to help you is that it has nothing to do with you and more to do with the projection of your friend's feelings about the fact that she's single, which sucks. And no, it's not necessarily what your friend should be doing, but the thing about people is that they're not always so aware of how their actions come off. And I have a feeling that your friend maybe doesn't realize that she's being so negative about it. And I'm not necessarily saying that you should say something to her about it, because I think the thing here is just, you might have to feel it out. And if you know her well enough, and you feel like her comments are snarky and intentional, then I would maybe say something and just be like, hey, it kind of seems like you don't really like when I talk about this guy, and just see where it goes. But if she's kind of just being like, oh, and kind of just blowing you off about it, it might have nothing to do with you. But I totally get where you're coming from in the sense of you feel bad about bringing him up. There was this time in high school where I sat with this group of girls at lunch, and I thought that we were really good friends, and I thought that they liked hearing about my love life. And there was this one guy that I was really into at the time that I kept bringing up, and at one point, my friend looked at me and she was like, can you fucking stop talking about this guy? Like, nobody cares. My heart literally stopped. I was so embarrassed. And then she kind of like took it back and she was like, listen, like, I totally get that you're excited, but you just like talk about it a lot, blah, blah, blah. To be honest, because at the time I was literally 16 and I was just like excited. I had just gotten out of a relationship. I had a crush on someone new. I was just excited. But I relate to feeling annoying when you want to talk about your relationship and feeling excited about talking about something new. And it sucks when you want to tell someone and you want to tell your friend, but they're not as excited as you are. And that shit happens. Like, last year, when I got into my relationship with my boyfriend, my absolute best friend in the whole world, my roommate from last year, she had just, like, I started dating my boyfriend, and then a month into my relationship with him, my best friend broke up with her boyfriend at the time. And I felt like such shit because I felt bad talking to her and being like, I'm so excited about this, and this, because I had this new relationship. I was in the honeymoon phase. I was falling in love with my boyfriend, and I just wanted to tell my best friend, like, oh my God, I love him. But at the same point, I felt bad and I felt like I couldn't talk about it because I knew the pressures of what she was under and how she was feeling. And it sucks because there were so many things that I wanted to tell her because she was my best friend, but I also knew, hey, maybe now's not the time. So if you can, the other thing I suggest is picking and choosing when you definitely want to talk about this guy. If it's something that, like, you don't really need an opinion on, don't mention it. But if it's something pressing and you really want to talk about your friend with it, talk about it. I think you kind of just have to suss out the situation and see where it goes. I've also been that girl before too, where my friend has entered a relationship and I'm happy for her, but I'm also upset because things aren't going so well for me. So I've been on both sides, as I'm sure you have too, and it can be really tricky. I wish that I knew more about, like, what she says to you, but I definitely am gonna stick with my advice of, if it's super bitchy and you think that it's intentional, just kind of lightheartedly be like, hey, like, do you get upset when I talk about blank? But if it's not, then just maybe try to sprinkle here and there. And the other thing that's really helpful is you can always talk to other friends about this guy too, who I'm sure would love to hear about it. And if your best friend doesn't necessarily want to hear about it, it sucks, but that's her prerogative. Talk about it with the people who want to hear about it and who want to give you advice and cheer you on. If she doesn't want to hear about it, at the end of the day, if it really bothers her that much, I'm happy for you and your new relationship. You can talk about it with me. I don't care. But I'm sure you have other friends too that would love to hear about it. And if this girl isn't in the mood to hear about it, oh well. You know? But I totally get where you're coming from, and I totally relate to the situation, and I wish you the best with this guy. That's so exciting. It's so cute that he lives in your dorm. I love. Question number two. Someone asked me if I have any relationship tips, which I have a ton. I have a ton of tips, but I definitely would not be able to get to them all in this episode. On to the next question. Someone said, any tips on relationships? I have so many. My dating history, I'll give you a little rundown. I had a very serious relationship in high school for the first 2 years or so of high school. And then him and I broke up. I was single for the last 2 years of high school, had the single experience in high school, came to college, had the single experience in college, heavily ingrained in hookup culture. So I could talk about that forever, too. But then, about a year ago, we're almost celebrating our one-year anniversary, which is crazy. About a year ago, I met my boyfriend. We've been dating ever since. So I do have a lot of relationship advice. If you guys want a full episode on that, let me know, because I would love, love, love to give. If we're going to talk about it briefly, I'll tell you that the one tip that I have on relationships when you're going into a relationship that you need to know is that the goal of the relationship is to not lose yourself in the relationship. And as much as you want to be with this person 24/7 and all the time at the start of a relationship, make sure that you're still pouring energy into your hobbies, the things that you like, and most importantly, into your friends. Because I've been on both sides where I've been the girl that gets a boyfriend and loses her friends, and then I've been the girl that gets a boyfriend and makes the effort to really keep her friends in her life and see them almost as much as she would if she was single. Other than that, if you're new to a relationship, enjoy the first couple months, because it truly is the best time ever. I love the feeling of falling in love, and I love being in a relationship too, but it's just great, and enjoy every minute of it. The other thing is take pictures. My boyfriend and I, for the first like couple months of our relationship, we had no pictures, and now we always take pictures. And I prefer having pictures. So take pictures, especially in the first couple months, because I think it's cute. Last question for today. I'll read this one to you too. So I kind of met this guy and he was super into me, and then I gave him the cookie and I became obsessed. Now he like kind of messes with me and asks me to come over but always cancels. I don't know what to do because I really like him and he gives me nothing. I totally relate to this too. I've also been this person before, and it absolutely sucks, and I feel you and I feel your pain. The thing about guys, and I wish that this wasn't true, but it just is that men play this game. They want you to partake in this game that we don't necessarily play. I was also the kind of girl that when I liked a guy, I liked him immediately. I was full in and I would show my cards. But the thing about guys, the thing about dating, the thing about hooking up that I've learned is that you cannot show all your cards. You cannot let a guy know how much you like him, especially in the beginning. And I don't want you to panic, because you can still salvage this, I promise. I'm not really loving the fact that he'll ask you to come over and then cancel. That's happened to me before too. Ugh, the pain when you get that cancellation text is awful. But if I were you, next time he asks you to hang out, as much as you want to say yes, and whether you have plans or not, tell him that you cannot. Be like, I'm so sorry I have plans. Because something I learned about when you're first dating a guy is that you can never be too available. You can't always say yes to him. Because guys have this tendency, I don't know if it's like their biology or what, they have this tendency to want to play this game, they want to chase you, they don't want it to be so easy. So don't make it so easy for him that he texts you and you immediately are like, yeah, I'll come over. Don't make it easy for him. Make him chase you. I
also could do a whole episode on this. I really want to do an episode on dating in college, how to date in college, how to hook up in college, and all the problems that come with that. So if you guys have more questions, put them in the Google form. But also, please know, whether this is a girl or a guy, I don't know. Please know your worth, and that there's a guy over there who isn't going to do this to you and ask you to come over and then cancel and not value you in the way that you should be valued. But if you really do want to get him to be obsessed with you, play his game a little bit. Don't make it so easy. I totally get it, though. I totally get it. Definitely don't act, though. You definitely don't want to be putty in his hands, though. Do not let him know that you're wrapped around his finger. I totally get being obsessed, and, like, there have been so many situations where a guy has had me wrapped around his finger, but I have to pretend like he doesn't. And that's just how the game kind of has to be sometimes. But I promise you, if you literally don't answer this guy, or if you answer this guy a little bit less, or you tell him a couple times that you can't hang out, odds are he's going to be more interested in you, and he's gonna want to chase you. I don't know why that is. That's just how guys are. that's what's worked for me in the past, is when a guy isn't super interested in me, I'll kind of cut him off a little bit, and then they're like, oh shit, and they come right back. So try that. If it doesn't work, then screw him. He's not the one, and you deserve someone who isn't fucking canceling on you, period. I hope that helps you guys. This is a little new for me, giving people advice and not having the full story. So if you can, tell me as much detail as possible, because I want to give you guys the best advice I can. But this is so fun, and genuinely, like, I want to do this all day. I wish I had more questions, but I don't. Please submit to the form. I absolutely love it. But I think I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. I'm sorry that it is on the shorter side this week, but I did have a really good time today. As always, rate us 5 stars on Apple Music and Spotify, and leave us a like and a comment on YouTube. You can follow me on Instagram at carly.lang. It's carleigh dot lang, L-A-N-G. You can follow 20-something at 20SM thing pod on Instagram. I love you guys so much, and I will see you next week.